little carefully. Elizabeth Cupid Carefully and I are bringing you the Divided Kingdom program, April 1st, 2021. Visit our archives at DividedKingdomRadio.com. That's DividedKingdomRadio.com. This program tonight is entitled, Are We Living in Matthew 24? Part 2. A year or so ago, a great listener friend sent us this little reflection he made upon the longevity of a sinful America. It is more pertinent today than ever. These were his words. Did you ever take notice of the stamp, Forever, USA? This country will not exist forever. It is Babylon the Great and will be destroyed. And that leads into tonight's first topic. The title, Are Demons Manifesting and Demon Possession Happening Like Never Before in History? This article by John Watkins appeared in ExposingSatanism.org. The interviewer asked this question. Excuse me. Is there a reason why demonic possession seems to be getting a lot more common in our society? And the answer came from Christian financial and spiritual analyst Michael Snyder. He stated, in this article, I am going to share some things with you that defy rational explanation. As our society has become increasingly obsessed with the occult, experts that deal with cases of demonic possession report that they have seen a huge surge in demand in recent years. Many of those that reach out for help are absolutely desperate, because often the torment caused by the demons is almost unbearable. Unfortunately, the movies, television shows, books, and video games that draw so many of our young people to the world of the occult just keep getting even darker and even more, quote-unquote, realistic. So it is quite likely that the surge in demonic activity in our society will only continue to escalate. Of course, a lot of people out there never spend too much time thinking about such things because they cannot see into that realm. But once in a while, all of us have the opportunity to get a glimpse into what is happening on the other side. For example, a grandmother named Tori McKenzie recently set up a motion-activated camera to try to determine what was causing her two-year-old granddaughter so much distress during the night. It turns out that the camera did capture an image of what her two-year-old granddaughter was seeing. And when she saw what it was, Tori McKenzie completely freaked out. Tori McKenzie set up a motion-activated camera at her son's house after complaints his two-year-old daughter, Amber McKenzie, was talking to something unseen in the middle of the night. The 41-year-old checked her camera's app 4 days later to find a bone-chilling image of a figure standing inches away from the sleeping tot and her seven-month-old brother, Michael McKenzie. The image had, quote, a horn on its head and long claws, unquote. And the author says you can see a photo of the creature right here. And if you go to the website.
And Lou, I would interrupt. This is Elizabeth Cubitt Caverly. That we heard Pastor Bob Martin, who has a program on WWCR right after ours at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. And, of course, we're on Thursdays at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. But he talked about a demonic attack on him one night when he woke up and there were these claws around his throat. So these things are real. So go ahead. She saw this on her, her surveillance of the
children. I call it a surveillance camera. Yes, exactly. And the author says you can see a photo. So if you go to his website, and this originally came from naturalnews.com, March 26th, you can actually see that very photograph. Moving on now, in a desperate attempt to get it to leave, Tori McKenzie started, quote, burning oils, unquote, but that only stirred up the creature even more. When she tried to rid the house, which was hers, but is now owned by her son, of this evil presence by burning oils, she claims cabinets and curtains opened and closed, and music began to play by itself. These things are very real. And as incidents become increasingly common throughout our society, even the mainstream media is starting to pay attention. In fact, a few years ago, the Washington Post actually featured a guest article by a psychiatrist about his experiences with demonic possession. Assaults upon individuals are classified either as demonic possessions or as the slightly more common but less intense attacks, usually called oppressions. A possessed individual may suddenly, in a type of trance, voice statements of astonishing venom and contempt for religion, while underlying and speaking various foreign languages previously unknown to them.
And Lou, I have to interrupt again. We've told our listeners earlier about the time of my father's death in 1991, early in the next year, 1992, at the funeral home. I was comforting an elderly person who had gone to high school with my father, and I said, of course, you know he's in heaven now. And at that point, we knew that there was a family that had possibly some satanic influence going on. And in that family, there was a child of about 5 years old, and suddenly out of that child's mouth came, "Now she's talking about heaven." And Lou, you witnessed it. It was just a voice just about like that, wasn't it?
Oh, yes. That was exactly the thing I thought of the first time I read this article, because there was so much like it.
Yes. And we've talked about this later. The interest through the child was offended because I was witnessing to heaven. Jesus Christ is real. He is our risen Savior. And if you do not know him, pray to him and ask him to save you. If you repent of your sins and you accept him, he will wash your sins away. You'll be white as snow. And then you ask him to guide the rest of your life. The other thing was, it was interesting to me now in these later years to have realized it seemed as though those devils knew me. They said, "Now she's." You see, and they hated me already because perhaps some of them have some abilities to project into the future, to know what is going to come, that Lou and I eventually would be called by the Lord to have this watchman program. And they didn't like this. Satan didn't like it. Now, we don't know for certain that that's a part of it, but I've always thought in these later years that there was a recognition that we were going to be used of the Lord, and there was resentment there because those devils will not be saved. But we as human beings can turn from the worst of the sins, even the worst things that we ever bring out to you, that we hear about the New World Order, the child trafficking, the drinking of the blood, to give the adrenochrome, the youth to those elite figures, and the worst things that Lynn Wood said happened when they blackmail the senators and congressmen, that they bring a gun there, and the person who's going to be blackmailed has to shoot first. He has to rape the child and then shoot the child, you see, and then he's blackmailed for the rest of his political career. These things cannot stand. God Almighty hates these abominations. And, yes, that listener, Fred, a dear friend of ours, Fred, through the years, supporting our program, supporting us with his dear wife, praying for us, Fred has it nailed. It is Babylon the Great. We could have given you a long list that Fred sent us of all the proof, but we don't need to do that now because we're in Matthew 24. Lou, go ahead with that article, what Michael Snyder says.
Yes. And the subject in here is referring back to someone who was possessed by a demon. The subject might also exhibit enormous strength, or even the extraordinary rare phenomenon of levitation. And I'll interject there, if you read the Bible in the various Gospels, when Jesus encountered the demoniac and allowed the demons to go into the herd of pigs, it said that the man could break the chains right off. He was not held by ordinary, you know, things that would be easily able to capture the ordinary man.
Excellent example.
Now, going on, Michael says, "I have not witnessed a levitation myself, but half a dozen people I work with vow that they have seen it in the course of their exorcisms. He or she might demonstrate hidden knowledge," and it has that in quotation marks, "hidden knowledge of all sorts of things, like how a stranger's loved one dies, what secret sins she has committed. Even when people are at a given moment, these are skills that cannot be explained except by special psychic or preternatural ability. Of course, many others have reported witnessing similar things. Just consider this quote from a Catholic priest named Vince Lampert. Quote, I've seen levitation, eyes rolled to the back of the head, foaming at the mouth, people falling on the floor and slithering like a snake across the ground. He also said, speaking languages otherwise unknown to an individual.
And Lou, we must interrupt again because
yes.
we've talked again how the satanic symbols and messages are becoming more and more pronounced in the secular world, for instance, at the Super Bowl, for instance, at the Olympics. And you and I were very interested in the world figure skating competitions. And this was just held pretty much. There wasn't an audience, but we were really interested in the beauty and the grace of these skaters. And there was one particular team from America that I had been really wanting to see in the dance. And the first night, you went to bed, but I got to see the short program, and it was just delightful. It was like something out of Singing in the Rain with Fred Astaire or the earlier movies with Ginger Rogers. It was just so wonderful, beautiful, so synchronized. But later, when we watched the free skate, you and I watched it, and we saw that it was dark. And I don't mean the light of day. And as it began, the woman member of the team curved her hands, and the way her face looked as she did that, it was a snake. It was just, you couldn't argue, it was a snake. And I said to you, ooh, and you reacted too. And then we saw more of this in that dance. And, of course, we thought about rock and roll. They sold their souls for rock and roll. There was a Christian film documentary maker a few years back who did this film that it was a very, very complete documentary. And, of course, it's alleged that certain big celebs, maybe even Elvis, they sold their soul to the devil. And I think one was a guitar player who had never amounted to much. Isn't that right?
Yes, it was this guitar player who, when his friends had seen him, he could barely play the guitar at all. And several months later, he was a master at it.
And there was a certain place
yes.
that these encounters occurred. Was it Route 12? Is that right?
It was an intersection of two routes somewhere in the south, but I can't remember what the details were.
Yes. And so you see some of these worldly figures who get the renown and the acclaim, and they are such virtuosos. They are getting power from the dark side. And, of course, after we saw this, I did not admire that couple anymore. I began to pray for them that they would get away from this influence. Now, getting back to these things that are exhibited by the people who are under the demonic influence.
Yes, among those were speaking languages otherwise unknown to an individual and exhibiting superhuman strength. And, again, these are the words of Michael Snyder. What would you do if you suddenly saw someone levitate or start slithering around on the ground like a snake as they speak in Latin? Another exorcist named James Cloud, who has performed hundreds of exorcisms, says that many people willingly open up doors to dark spirits. He said, drugs, Ouija boards, and a whole host of dark materials on the Internet can open you up to dark spirits. And he has a quote. As the years go by, the cases are getting darker, unquote.
And I must interrupt again. Many years ago, when I was a very young person starting out in my work life, I had an eccentric boss, and he was a little Italian guy, and he was searching for religion, I think, in every way he could ever find it, and some of it was unorthodox. So at our sales meetings, we had to be guinea pigs, so he brought out the Ouija board. And yours truly and another person spoke to it and asked it questions. And the comment was made, my goodness, it was moving fast. It was really doing all this and that. Well, of course, I have repented ever doing such a thing there. We must keep our lives pure, and we must not open the portals of these terrible things, because there is a war, and the war is intensifying. And then, too, I have been thinking again about in my own family how my mother said my maternal grandfather would do powwowing. Well, in reading Amish novels, I came upon this, and it was something like a witchcraft in which they would go to this person, but this was outside the normal, traditional Amish religion, and they would go to these healers, and these were people who did this so-called powwowing. Now, when my mother told this version, she said that my grandfather would use a Bible verse, and he would stop the bleeding, and all the children would go to him. And the interesting part that correlated with the Amish books, this so-called technique had to be passed down from a woman to a man. So apparently my grandfather's aunt had taught him how to do this. And this is very much like certain aspects of witchcraft itself. So, you know, I have prayed to renounce anything that's in my generational background. I've prayed for my young relatives and their families, and I will continue to pray for that. And again, we mentioned Pastor Bob Martin. He's had a very important series through the years of talking about generational sin and how it goes down to the third or fourth generation. So, you know, you may want to look into that program, and you may want to examine your own life if you have Freemasons in your family. Remember Mike Pence and the coin? You want to renounce any of these things that are under the purview of Satan and the darkness. Go ahead, Lou.
Yes. Michael Snyder comments, "This is just one of the reasons why I encourage my readers to be very careful about what entertainment," and he has that in quotes, "entertainment they bring into their homes." Snyder then goes on to recount the experience of Jenny Weaver. As a teenager, Jenny Weaver was fascinated by the witchcraft that she saw practiced in a popular movie, and pretty soon she was deeply immersed in the occult. Feeling powerless and unloved, Jenny started cutting, I think that means cutting classes at school.
No, that doesn't. That means cutting her wrists.
Oh, okay.
And
yes,
that, again,
yes.
is part of another family, a couple families that you and I have known where the teens were troubled and they had a poor self-image. But what is this really? Isn't it that horned being standing over that little child that the woman videotaped? Yes, it is. These feelings of hopelessness and suicide are put in to the youth, and that's where we get the idea there, too, of this terrible thing that's coming, this agenda being pushed, this trans agenda being pushed to mutilate children, not adults who are deciding what they will do. And we don't interfere with that. That's up to them and God. And God forgives everything. There are some incomplete people, maybe, who are troubled. And when your sin is confessed, God forgives it. Because each of us has some kind of a problem and a sin and a flaw. And God said, go and sin no more. But when we see that something is interfering like an agenda to harm children, that's something very different than, say, Caitlyn Jenner. Okay, we don't hear about Caitlyn Jenner going and doing drag queen story hours. Now, do we? So this program doesn't persecute Caitlyn Jenner. Maybe Caitlyn Jenner is saved. We don't know what her heart is, whether she's prayed to the Lord. If she prayed to the Lord and repented of all her sins, just like Lou and me or you listeners, God can save her. But God is not behind this movement to harm these children. But now we must move on. Lou, go ahead.
Yeah, so as a teenager, Jenny Weaver was fascinated by the witchcraft she saw practiced in a popular movie. And pretty soon, she was deeply immersed in the occult. Jenny started cutting and smoking pot. Then she saw a movie about teen witches that showed her a way to take charge of her life. Soon, she was poring over books about witchcraft, Wicca, and the occult, and trying spells with her friends. And this is a quote from her. "Wiccan religion is do what you want, but do no one any harm," says Jenny.
And again, Wicca portrays itself as a kind of a harmless, loving the earth, that kind of a white witch deal. But we know where that mantra comes from. Do what thou wilt was Aleister Crowley's big maxim. Aleister Crowley, the notorious Satanist who possibly killed his own child. So we know that the levels of this darkness are murderous.
And Jenny went on to say, It's kind of like, oh, it's the Good Witch. I felt like I had power, said Jenny. And so I'm looking at this like, oh, this is the most amazing thing ever. Unfortunately for Jenny Weaver, the fun did not last very long. Pretty soon, the torment from the demon spirits that had invited to be around her, or that she had invited to be around her, became quite nightmarish. Said Jenny, quote, you would feel demon spirits walking by you like a human being was walking by you, said Jenny, touching you, scraping the wall. It went from, oh, this is going to be really fun, into, I'm going to choke you out until you die. I'm going to take your life. All the time, constantly tormented, unquote. This, and these are Michael Snyder's words now, this sort of thing is far more common than most of us would like to admit. In fact, many so-called mental health disorders actually have a spiritual cause, and some mainstream scientists are starting to figure this out. For instance, M. Kimmel, Fairmark, just had a paper published in the Journal of Religion and Health that explored the link between schizophrenia and demonic possession. As seen above, there exist similarities between the clinical symptoms of schizophrenia and demonic possession. Common symptoms in schizophrenia and demonic possession, such as hallucinations and delusions, may be a result of the fact that demons in the vicinity of the brain may form the symptoms of schizophrenia. And I'll interject here, it's interesting that a big push from drug companies seems to be on right now, with a new drug for schizophrenia constantly on TV ads and also magazine ads for that drug. So what should people do if they think that they have opened the door to demonic spirits? Well, Jenny Weaver says that she finally got free when someone led her in a prayer to renounce witchcraft. Again, these are Jenny's words. I would say I renounce, and if I would try to say it at first, it was like, ooh, and they wouldn't let me say it. It was like my mouth was, I couldn't even get the words. And they would say, we're not leaving, no. And they would curse and spit, says Jenny. It was very, very, very crazy. And finally, I knew there was a release. I could tell. I could just feel it. I knew. I was like, okay, I'm free. They're gone. They're gone. And I was just, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, says Jenny. Back to Michael's words, as we get even deeper into the end times, supernatural manifestations will become increasingly common. Hollywood has exported occult culture all over the globe. And on a daily basis, millions upon millions of people are opening up spiritual doors that they shouldn't be opening. This is creating a massive worldwide spiritual crisis. But the vast majority of the people out there still do not understand what is happening. What was it like in the days of Noah? Got questions? The biblical account of Noah begins in Genesis 6, approximately 1,600 years had passed since the creation of Adam and Eve. As the earth's population exploded in number, it also exploded with evil. Long forgotten was the righteous sacrifice of Abel in Genesis 4. As the, quote, Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, unquote. And that's from Genesis 6:5. Verses 11 and 12 say, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way in the earth. However, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. When Jesus described the events that will surround his second coming, he said, quote, just as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. And that's from Luke 17, verses 26 and 27. Jesus was pointing out that although the people of Noah's day were totally depraved, they were not the least bit concerned about it. They were carrying on the events of their lives without a single thought of the judgment of God. Noah is described in 2 Peter as a preacher of righteousness, meaning he had spent years warning his friends and neighbors what the Holy God was about to do. No one listened. The depravity and ungodly lifestyles in the entire world at that time were enough to cause the Lord to, quote, regret that he had made man, unquote, from Genesis 6:6. Many scholars believe that part of the need to destroy every human being except Noah and his family was a sin mentioned in Genesis 6, 1-4, when, quote, the Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, unquote. As evil reproduced and overtook the world, the most merciful act God could perform was to begin again. It is interesting that God allowed Noah nearly 100 years to complete the building of the ark. Through all that time, God waited patiently. Scripture seems to imply that Noah preached to the people of that time about what was coming. They did not believe Noah and were content with their wickedness and idolatry. Their hearts were hard and their ears dull. No one repented, and no one cared to seek God. Jesus said that the world will be much the same before he returns to set up his earthly kingdom. See Matthew 25:31-33. He warned us to be ready, quote, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect him, unquote. And 2 Timothy 3:1-4 gives us a clear picture of the state of the world before Jesus comes, and most likely also describes the world in the days of Noah. That verse says, quote, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, unquote. It's becoming increasingly obvious that to understand what the world was like in the days of Noah, we only need to watch the evening news.
That's so true. And as a little postscript to that anecdote, that true story about the child at my father's funeral time, years later I read a book by Eric Barger and David Benoit. And in this book they described what we have been alluding to there when Lou talks about the Roman Catholic priests doing the exorcisms. This book recounted the Protestant version of this, I think. And sometimes some of the spirits were very difficult to make them leave. But everything is done in the name of Jesus. Every bad spirit of the devil is cast out with the blood of Jesus Christ mentioned, with Jesus Christ mentioned. And I was sitting here thinking, I wish that I could talk with Eric Barger. I would ask him to pray about that child that seemed to have that strong demonic influence. And the phone rang. There had been some kind of a mistake there. Eric was going to do an interview with us, and he called early. And I said, oh, I think this is of the Lord. So he made quite an outstanding prayer right there with me on the phone. And that child by now was older, and the child's life took a wonderful turn. And today that child has children and is married. And now we're never going to be free completely of Satan's attacks. Bob Martin, again, we mention him and his program that follows ours. He said, if you're attacked one Thursday, don't relax. The next Thursday, it's going to come again. Satan will keep attacking. But we're here, we think, in these end times, and we send you to DividedKingdomRadio.com. Tell others about our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com, and you may want to listen to our March the 25th program, because in that program, Lou presented the story of Ed DeGroot, who had this wonderful business going on in the 1990s, living high in all of the big prosperity churches, but God sent him to his knees. He took away his business. He sent him on a fast, and God showed him what Ed believed was the Great Tribulation, that there wouldn't be no pre-tribulation rapture. We wouldn't be taken out of here, that America would go through it, America and the world. And so we do want you to know that we are watchmen, and we will go along here as long as you help us and God guides us. And we want to thank the listeners. Three or four of you made the difference and helped us pay for the April costs at WWCR. Thank you, Jesus, and thank you to those listeners. And now, this program that we began last week is of such importance. This Are We Living in Matthew 24? There will be a part three. So we do want you to tune in again to hear the whole completion of this. And now moving on, Mike Adams at naturalnews.com had an alarming bit of news during his situation update for Monday, March 29, 2020. It looks as though Lou's article about Michael Snyder's assertions that devils are emerging in greater numbers than ever in an unprecedented way is spot on. Furthermore, just as Jesus predicted in Matthew 24, the evil is becoming more blatant, horrific things out in your face, things that would have outraged the living churches just 30 to 35 years ago. Now, instead, churchmen, some at high levels of prominence, such as Albert Mohler, Southern Baptist leader, Pope Francis, and we hear allegedly the 700 Club's Gordon Robertson, and now even allegedly Dr. Franklin Graham, we have heard that they are telling their congregations to take the aborted fetal cell line COVID vaccinations. We've even heard this sad allegation that Dr. Graham said something about if Jesus were here, he would advise us to take these vaccines. Mike Adams pointed out that anyone can read right on the vaccine inserts the numbers that indicate the murdered baby cell lines are being used. And I'm going to say this slowly so that you can get this. On those inserts, it's W138 and MRC5. Again, those numbers that indicate the inclusion of these fetal cell lines from the aborted babies, W138, MRC5. Politicians like Pelosi and Schumer are one thing, but God says judgment will not come first to the politicians. It will come to the church house. God in heaven, how have these clerics, these shepherds of the flocks, become worse than the biblical description of them lying dumb like dogs? No, they have turned into horrible faces, multiple faces, at least spiritually, of Kermit Gosnell, the infamous Pennsylvania abortionist who sickened the world only a few years ago with his atrocities. It is no wonder that satanic control and influence are increasing over the world without the restraint of true Christian power of the living churches, the resurrected Christ being promoted and extolled by the pastors of the church and its leaders. Those days are far gone. I remember last year, right before COVID struck, God brought me the third time to talk to a minister. We faced off right in a restaurant unexpectedly. We had liked his sermons. He was one of the better pastors we had found. And I brought up the King James Version of the Bible, that the other newer versions were robbing the divinity of Christ. If you don't know about that, go to our archives, DividedKingdomRadio.com. Look back. I think in 2019, we repeated a two-part program in which we told the book by Dr. Noah Hutchings and Dr. Gail Ripplinger about which Bible to use, and you really open your eyes if you don't know about this. But when I again approached this pastor, he looked at me and he lifted his chin arrogantly and he says, "It won't interfere with my ministry." And I knew that was the final time that God asked me to approach him. Let's move right on, Lou.
Elizabeth, when you say unrestrained faces of Satan are now in the open, this is the gruesome culture of death showing up everywhere. Here's a bombshell article that appeared at naturalnews.com Tuesday, March 30th, 2021. The title, Little Nas X Releases Satan Shoes That Mock God Contain Human Blood. And this was by Ethan Huff. In celebration of his queerness, rapper Lil Nas X teamed up with Brooklyn-based streetwear company MSCHF, and of course you can see if you write that down, short for the word mischief, to release a new pair of limited edition Satan shoes.
Oh, that got by me.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, these hidden messages. When we were talking about they sold their souls to rock and roll, you mentioned the thing that you ran backwards and something with the Beatles that sort of insinuated Paul was dead, and that sparked a big controversy. But there were others that said things with the word Satan in them.
Yes, if you had a special kind of, I guess a professional kind of turntable in those days, you could actually get it to go backward. And,
these messages,
that was a big thing at the time, I can remember.
Everything is hidden, hidden in plain sight. I did not see that. You know, I looked over that article, too, so mischief. And it's not it's not the kind of mischief that little children do, little tiny little jokes and tricks. We see blood in this.
Yeah.
It's the blood. It's the death. It's the murder of children and babies. And here we are. And, of course, we first heard that Nike was doing this, and then that they disavow this, that it was some other company. But, you know, we always have to ask. Sometimes things are covered up, and there is a relationship. But we think there isn't. But, you know, we have to keep our eyes open and listen to further truth as it emerges. Go ahead.
These Satan shoes that bear a pentagram, an inverted cross, the scripture verse Luke 10:18, and, quote, one drop of human blood, unquote, in the air pouch, have just come out, and they're already sold out. Scheduled to coincide with the release of his latest video, Montero, Call Me By Your Name, the shoes are a redesign of the Nike Air Max 97. Owning 666 pairs, and note that special number, when I taught at a Christian school, if any math problem came out with the number 666, all the kids would kind of joke around. But here, I don't think they mean it to be a joke. It says 666 pairs are being released at the cost of $1,018 a piece.
And again, we know that is the number of the beast.
That's
supposedly.
Right.
And I was thinking there as you read this that it's all sold out. That means 666 people are now in league, either consciously or unconsciously, with the devil. They've opened those portals. That portal that I opened not knowing, when I thought it was a fun thing to make the Ouija board move around with my business associate. Gee, that was cool. That was like a really an interesting thing to do. How little we understand, because the churches have been dying for generations. We're not taught to beware of the world, because the world and the church are practically synonymous. So what else about these shoes?
Well, as I said, they have that Bible verse that's referenced. And did it say now?
And the pentagram and the upside-down cross?
Yeah,
we've seen a picture we'll have to get to, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and that quantum tattoo. But I guess there was an interview with Melinda Gates on TV, and the article claimed she was wearing an upside-down cross. She said to be a Roman Catholic. But I got the magnifying glass, and I looked carefully. The cross was upside down.
Very interesting. At any rate, this Bible verse we referenced from Luke 10:18 reads, quote, and he, meaning Jesus, said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven, unquote. Little Nas X says the shoes are a reflection of his latest music video, which depicts him dancing on a stripper pole on his way down to hell. Little Nas X also gives Satan a lap dance in the video. The rapper wrote, quote, I wrote a song with our name in it, unquote. And he wrote that in a social media post about what the Satan shoes celebrate.
And we have to see that if we're honest, the sexual perversions of men with men are always a part of this deep, darkest heart of the occult. They were a part of Aleister Crowley's life and being and everything, his community. And we know that in Leviticus, God said that if a man lay with a man, it was going to result over time in the country being spit out, the people being spit out of the country. And he said in those verses that it had happened once before. See, maybe that was the time of Noah. We aren't sure. and or maybe it was the time of the Nephilim, but he said it was going to happen again, and we can see our country is falling as these immigrants come in. You looked on one picture in a, on a street. You thought there were about 500, didn't you, on that one street coming in there? Wasn't that in Texas?
I think it was in Texas, yeah. Oh, definitely. It was way backed up and not just a single-file line.
And you know, we'll be talking more about this, maybe this program, maybe the next program. But you said something lately. There was another update. What was it? Thousands and thousands somewhere.
Oh, I think in one, just one of these, I guess you call them detention centers. I would almost call them concentration camps. They
oh, yes, because now we learned that the children are covered up with aluminum foil.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of that now. At any rate, they...
like we're going to be, have roasted meat or something, you see?
That's an awful thought.
And all this trafficking, taking these children, these thousands of children, a lot of them to the elite, where they get the adrenochrome, maybe there's child sacrifice. God will not be mocked forever. America is Babylon, and he will not stand for this
children.
But, so go ahead now. You were saying?
And just to elaborate quickly on what you said, I think it was built for 250 people, and right now they had 4,000 in that one place. Now, getting back to this.
You know, we're so intrigued with this little nonsense stuff that we hear. Biden's dog is biting people, but Biden is biting our country.
Yes.
And not just Biden. Someone, Scott Lively, wrote a very interesting piece, and he's the author of The Pink Swastika, about the secret homosexuality of the Nazis. And we know there's a lot of it in the Republican Party, the Log Cabin Party, the Lincoln Project, probably coming right out of that from Bohemian Grove. There's a lot that's going on. And I didn't agree with everything Scott Lively wrote, but I believe that part of it he nailed, that President Trump did not take a clear stand against the perversions that God talked about in Leviticus. And because he did not take a stand, I'm saying, against the vaccines, because we know that he once twittered about the relationship between autism and vaccines. And we had heard from Alex Jones one time that RFK Jr. with his Children's Health Defense had visited at the White House. But we did a big turnaround to say the vaccines are coming and to push the vaccines. God cannot accept a double-minded man. And if things aren't spiritually under the control of Jesus, if there's arrogance and there's a worldly desire to just be the biggest, the best, that's what America, American Babylon is. So Scott Lively said he didn't think the Lord was finished yet with President Trump, former President Trump. And we don't know. But we do know the reason God did not overturn the election fraud. As Scott Lively said, do we really think if God had willed Trump to succeed, to get into the second term, nothing in heaven or hell could have stopped God. But we see we are living in Matthew 24. And when we don't have our hearts right, God is against us, not for us. Go ahead, Lou.
Yes. Now we have a subheadline. Nike sues Mischief for trademark infringement. Says it is, quote, in no way connected with this project, unquote. When Lil Nas announced the shoes, he branded them as being a Nike product. However, the shoe giant says it had nothing to do with the project and is now suing Mischief for trademark infringement. And in the interest of time, I'm going to skip some of the technical things
I think you can go ahead.
Okay. According to Nike, Lil Nas X and Mischief ripped off its brand and created a custom version of the Nike Air Max 97 without permission. A Nike spokesperson confirmed the legal action in a statement. This is their quote. Nike filed a trademark infringement and dilution complaint against Mischief today related to the Satan shoes.
Now, we hope that's all on the up and up and true. If it is, we applaud Nike for that.
Yes.
And if it's just another cover-up, sooner or later it'll come out.
And it goes on to say, we can tell you we do not have a relationship with Lil Nas X or Mischief. The Satan shoes were produced without Nike's approval or authorization, and Nike is in no way connected with this project, unquote. Nike confirmed in a separate statement to the Associated Press that it is also attempting to, quote, stop the release of the Satan shoes, unquote, which are nothing more than a rip-off gimmick by Lil Nas X to promote his homosexuality. In response to the suit, Lil Nas X tweeted a cartoon response depicting SpongeBob SquarePants begging for money along with the caption, "Me after the Nike lawsuit." The Nike complaint reads, "The material alterations include at least referring to the shoe as the Satan shoe, adding red ink and human blood to the midsole, adding red embroidered satanic theme detailing, adding a bronze pentagram to the laces, and adding a new sock liner. There is already significant evidence of confusion and dilution occurring in the marketplace, including calls to boycott Nike in response to the launch of mischievous Satan shoes, based on the mistaken belief that Nike is authorized to approve this product," unquote. Lil Nas X further mocked Nike by posting a fake apology video on YouTube that features a clip of him dancing provocatively with Satan. In the event that Nike is able to stop the release of Satan shoes, all 666 orders will need to be canceled and refunded. The question is, does hell offer refunds? And I believe that's it for that article. Let's see.
And do you have a little follow-up there, or are we ready now to hear?
I think we're ready for your next.
Yes. You know, these souls were made in the image of God, and these little children, this bloodlust to harm them, it's always focusing on the young and helpless of God's creation. And before I move into that, what Moderna is now openly doing, we know that sometimes there are whistleblowers in unlikely places. And so yesterday, March 31st, Lou and I heard that the former vice president of Pfizer was actually saying that some of these COVID-19 vaccines might be being used as a population culling tool. We couldn't believe this. So, you know, if you want to save the lives of your friends and family, you must pray and see that they get information. And again, tell them to visit DividedKingdomRadio.com and hear our programs in the archives for the weeks in March. So important that you tell others about the program. If you would like to help us stay on the air, you notice you don't have to endure any commercials with us, with our program. You can send a little cash, a check only made out to WWCR. We can't take personal checks, or a money order, or some postage stamps. They're helpful to us. Send it to Lou Caverly, C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And so now, here we have Moderna now openly running vaccine experiments on children as young as 6 months old. Lou, doesn't that astound you?
That just gives me...
That's murder.
Yeah, yeah.
Thursday, March 25th, 2021, at Natural News by Ethan Huff. Phase 2/3 of Moderna's pediatric Wuhan coronavirus COVID-19 vaccine. Oh, I think he meant phase 2 into 3. And, you know, it's moving from phase 2 to 3. Is now underway, which means that children as young as 6 months old are being injected with gene-altering messenger RNA, mRNA, in the name of, quote, science. Known as the Kid Cove study, Moderna's clinical trial includes about 6,750 children, all between the ages of 6 months and 11 years, from Canada and the United States. Each babe is receiving differently sized injections based on age for the first part of the trial, and how their bodies respond will determine the doses they receive during phase 2. Oh, that gives me the creeps right there. How about you?
Oh, yes.
Experimentation.
Sure does.
And then a little change, and maybe the little black babies that Margaret Sanger at Planned Parenthood in the beginning said were weeds, maybe they'll give them a little overdose. Oops, we're so sorry. Back to Ethan Huff. According to a press release about the study, jab effectiveness will either be inferred through achieving a correlate of protection if established or through immunobridging to the young adult, ages 18 to 25 population. After receiving their second dose, children will then be monitored and followed up with after a year has passed. We are pleased to begin this phase 2-3 study of mRNA-1273 in healthy children in the U.S. and Canada, and we thank NIAID and BARDA for their collaboration, announced Stefan Bancel, CEO of Moderna. Quote, it is humbling to know that 53 million doses have been administered to people in the U.S. We are encouraged by the primary analysis of the Phase 3 COVE study of mRNA-1273 in adults ages 18 and above. And this pediatric study will help us assess the potential safety and immunogenicity of our COVID-19 vaccine candidate in this important younger age population. And now I have to interject again. Something that I heard again yesterday was that after all of this backlash against AstraZeneca in Europe and all the countries pausing and stopping it from being given, it's going to have a new name. It's going to be the same vaccine, but it's going to have a new name. Isn't that interesting, Lou?
Sounds like somebody has robbed a bank and changes his name to try and get away from all the publicity.
That's right. And now back to this article about imposing these vaccine trials on these young children. This article by Ethan Huff says, Fauci's federal agency spearheading mRNA trials on little children. The research is taking place in partnership with the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, NIAID, which is headed up by none other than fake Dr. Anthony Fauci. The Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority, BARDA, is also involved. Meanwhile, Pfizer and BioNTech are already testing their mRNA injections in children as young as 12. Since the Food and Drug Administration, FDA, has only issued emergency use authorization for the drug in people 16 years or older, Pfizer BioNTech wants to expand that to younger children as quickly as possible. Back in February, Johnson & Johnson also announced that it had begun to study the effects of the Chinese virus jab in teenagers. That trial began by looking at the effects of the J&J injection in children between the ages of 12 and 18, and J&J plans to continue expanding its test pool to include increasingly younger children. We will conduct several immunogenicity and safety studies in children from 17 years of age down to neonates. Jim, Lou, I got so upset I used your first name. Neonates, newborns.
Yeah. Incredible.
Oh, Satan is, oh, man.
He's at work.
Yes, the rapper Dancing with Satan. The perversions against these little ones. Okay, the person saying that was Dr. Makaya. I can't pronounce her name, D-O-U-O-G-U-I-H, head of clinical development and medical affairs at Johnson & Johnson. We are also anticipating a study in pregnant women in the second and third trimesters toward the end of March, early April. The culture of death is alive and well with Satan. And, you know, as we look at this overview here, we are going to get in to the border situation, but we don't have a lot of time to do it adequately here tonight, but we'll just give you a little taste of it, that there is a Border Patrol agent blowing the whistle on these inhumane conditions. Give the other headline, Lou, that you have.
Well, we have a couple of them here. For one, we have Biden's open border policy generates 14 million, that's million, a day for human traffickers. And another one, Project Veritas, exposes horrific conditions for children living in Biden's border cages. You heard about border cages all the time under Trump. Now the mainstream media probably doesn't even say the word. even though they're the same thing, or worse.
Yes. So, you know, we have to get into that in depth. The next time you hear our program, when we do part three of Are We Living in Matthew 24? And now, in the interim, we have had a very, very, the creepiest ad ever. Clinton, Bush, and Obama want you to get the COVID vaccine. Okay, when we talk about the powers of darkness, this is LifeSite News. In what is arguably, and this was March 24th, the creepiest public service announcement, PSA, ever foisted upon the American public, former Presidents Bill Clinton, George Bush, and Barack Obama urged everyone to receive the coronavirus vaccine. Far from reassuring, everything about the trio's message is disturbing. The 30-second PSA shows the three powerful globalists telling the entire United States population to take the untested vaccines, which are connected to aborted fetal cells, and whose long- and short-term side effects, including deaths and injuries, are yet to be fully understood. The shot they want you to take isn't even technically a vaccine. It's a form of gene therapy. Yet they repeatedly refer to it as a vaccine to woo you into receiving the substance into your body. The optics are troubling. Dressed in dark winter overcoats, they each evoke the chilling image of the priest as he arrives to face the devil in the movie The Exorcist. And where are they standing as they speak to you? In a cemetery. The PSA was filmed in the Arlington National Cemetery Amphitheater. Wow, Lou, is that a message or not? And it's like
yeah.
You, when you discovered the tombstone-like granite thing that's at the entrance of the CDC.
Yeah, it's their road sign.
Right.
Or, the
marker.
The sign.
Yes.
To show that it's there.
Right.
Particular
and in this article, in the PSA, George Bush declares the science is clear. These vaccines will protect you and those you love from this dangerous and deadly disease. They could save your life, adds a feeble-appearing Bill Clinton, who once lied to the American people, saying, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Barack Obama then asserts that receiving the untested shot is, quote, the first step to ending the pandemic. Yet he is the same man whose promises regarding the so-called Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, turned out to be lies. And then he lied to the American people time after time. We just cannot underestimate the occult influence takeover of our world now, of the church, of the government, of the culture. Turn off your TV set sometimes and read the King James Version of the Bible and know in your hearts that it's important now to make time with Jesus Christ, that you can pray to him and you can have your sins forgiven. And we look forward to talking to you again next week when we have much more about Are We Living in Matthew 24. God bless you. Good night.